So we're doing it this way.
Ah, listen to it.
The date is 10/9/1980. The interviewee is Walter Jones. The interviewer is Milton J. Carpenter. The address is 307 Camellia Drive. And the address is 307 Camellia Drive. And he lives on 6th Street, Star Hill. His age is 66. Where are you?
I live there.
Were you born there?
No, I was born in the county, but I lived in, when I was 16, I was living in another part of the shop in the city. I was living on Page Street, before I went to the Star Hill area.
Okay. Who else lived in the household with you in Star Hill, as far as, you know, relatives, parents, how many?
Well, when I first went to the Star Hill area, I was living with my father and mother-in-law and my wife. But after that time, my wife and I and my son.
Mm-hmm. I know you've explained Star Hill to me, but could you again explain like the differences or the
differences
between Star Hill and Vinegar Hill, how they differed, or
if they were one and the same? Because earlier you mentioned it.
Well,
seemed the same to you.
I don't think they was the same exactly, but one was residential and one was business. Okay. Star Hill was residential, and Vinegar Hill was business located.
Mm-hmm. And Star Hill started, well, where did like Vinegar Hill stop and Star Hill start?
Well, as far as the area is concerned, it's all combined practically. It's see, because there's a lot of things being done in Star Hill area right now that is related to Vinegar Hill, like Hinge's store. See, that was Vinegar Hill, but it's in the Star Hill area. See, under this program, okay. Star Hill is being working on.
Okay, and you owned your own home. How many rooms were in your home, in your house in Star Hill? How large was the house?
3 bedrooms, bath, dining room, kitchen, and a living room.
Mm-hmm.
Six.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You mentioned having something to do with the grant from HUD with Star Hill. Did you have anything to do with the renovation of Vinegar Hill as well?
That was done by a different man altogether. Hill City was one I think that was working, Vinegar Hill program. And then this other thing came in was a program that was donated by HUD,
mm-hmm.
The Star Hill program.
Mm-hmm. Could you define your role in that?
My role?
Yes, sir.
Well, I was just one of the committees in the Star Hill thing when he was getting there, you know, for seeing that people get paint and whatever was necessary that they needed during that time. And this thing is a 3-year program, and it's in the second year now.
Mm-hmm. Is this, well, I'm just kidding. Is this like a self-help thing with the Star Hill? Like you give them material and they do their own, or?
No.
Or is the city doing it all?
What it really matters to is that the people apply for a loan at a cheap interest rate, and they use the money to beautify the area in many ways. Like, for instance, the landscaping, remodeling houses, and one thing or another.
Mm-hmm. Do most of these people own their homes who are applying for these loans?
The people that apply for the loans are low-income people that own their homes. And I think the program is arranging to buy some property and build some homes and sell them to people that have no interest rate. Now this is a Star Hill we're talking about.
Right, right.
And this doesn't have anything to do with Vinegar Hill.
Right. Do you feel that something like this could have worked for Vinegar Hill? Do you think, I mean, do you see, let's say,
I don't feel that the business people on Vinegar Hill had a fair shot at their business as far as keeping their business is concerned. Because if it had been a program like this, it could have been money put into the businesses and improved it, and then it could have been, you know, more successful.
Mm-hmm. So you think that this would have been a better alternative than just wiping them out, as was did?
Well, you call it wiping out now. We only had a few people that were dissatisfied with selling it. Because some of them were willing to sell and some were not.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them fought it in the coast for more money.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them had to go anyway. Because I don't know whether you talked to Jackson's. I'm not, that was in the Star Hill area.
I'm going to Star Hill.
Well, then they had two wine stoves on that Vinegar Hill, and that thing was torn down. They owned the building that was leased to merchants that were running them. And they had a beautiful, of course, this was downtown, this wasn't Vinegar Hill anyway.
That's all about the whole area, even though that's where the black businesses were concentrated, even if not Vinegar Hill, right? All down in there, Vinegar Hill and so forth.
Well, it was Vinegar Hill is extended down Main Street. It was all on Main Street, we put it that way. Mm-hmm. Practically all the black business in the town, in the city of Charlottesville, was on Main Street at that time, on Vinegar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, weren't there like homes behind these businesses, like where King's is now?
No, well, yes, it was. Down in there, there were a lot of homes. They sold everybody. Oh, let's see. They moved about 50 families out of there.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, these homes, no, was this area behind Main Street? Was that Vinegar Hill or Star Hill?
Vinegar Hill.
Well,
no, that was Vinegar Hill and I don't know what they call it, Vinegar Hill or not, because Vinegar Hill was sort of like just coming up Main Street.
Right.
But some of these streets were Williams Street and Cole Street, Commerce Street, and different streets like that. They went in down all down in there, mm-hmm. running back and forth, crossing right. down in there. And they called it Skank Springs, I think.
Skank Springs?
I think is what they call it down there.
You have an idea how that's spelled?
Hmm?
You have an idea how that is spelled?
Skank Springs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes, see something.
Well, you know, Dan, best thing to ask you is this. Do you have any idea why I got that name?
No.
Because that's a new one. We've heard of, what was it, Cox Road?
Yeah, Cox's Road.
Uh-huh, Cox's Road.
That's on the other side of Page Street.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't over in the Vinegar Hill area, though.
Uh-huh. Because there was some indication given that perhaps there was like two sections in Vinegar Hill. And we aren't for sure, but we've heard something to the effect of there was a path that separated one group of people from another one.
I don't know anything about
that. You hear anything about that? Because we don't know if it's just hearsay or, you know, we haven't heard anyone else mention it yet.
As a matter of fact, there's only one person that we know of that talked about the path, you know. Do you feel that most of the businesses were compensated? Well, not only businesses, but most of the people who were living in Vinegar Hill at the time. Do you feel they were compensated fairly for their property?
No, I couldn't say that. I wouldn't have no
way of knowing that.
Well, they were fairly. I think everybody had a, you know, a quarrel with the city to get what they wanted out of them, and whether they got. Whether they felt it was justified or not. Now, like I'm saying, some of the people that was involved in this change was maybe some of the people you should be able to talk to, like the Jacksons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Now, I tell you, a fellow could give you all that. A lot of dope on it. If you could ever get in touch with him, his name is White Johnson.
White
Johnson. He used to live in that area, but he don't live in that area now. And he is not affiliated with any kind of business. He's not in the Star Hill area either. But I think they took his home for practically nothing either, because I think he was one of the people that that had a quarrel with the city, but their property down there.
You say his name is Wyatt?
W-Y-A-T-T.
Got it. Thank you.
Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in Ridge Street now.
Mm-hmm. On Ridge Street.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure we do. I've heard that name
before. I don't think
before.
Anyone's talked to him, though.
I'm sure we do. I don't know.
He worked at the university somewhere.
Really?
I think he worked at, what is that? Is that Jag School? Not Jag School. What is that? What Thomas Jefferson in? What kind of school is that? That Thomas Jefferson in?
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson Inn, did you say?
Yes.
That may be just some place on the outskirts or somewhere that they named, you know, after Thomas Jefferson. Because I haven't.
No, I mean this is
Thomas Jefferson
related
Inn
to the professors or something. I think
Thomas Jefferson Inn. I've never heard of that. I'll write that down though, because it might be something we've never heard of, especially if it's related to professors.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, you said you worked for the railroad back at this time?
I did work for them for 36 years, yes. Huh. But I don't work for them. I'm all finished with that.
Right. Well, what kind of jobs did most blacks have back at that time?
Waiting table.
Waiting tables.
And
maids.
Cooking. Domestic work.
What years was this right here? What years are we talking about, would you say?
All the years. What do you mean?
19.
It's hard to get somebody to be doing a lot of domestic work now.
Mm-hmm.
But all down through the years, that's all they could do, you know, before these jobs opened up to these. And then, I tell you, the reason for that is, too, the generation have changed and people are preparing themselves more for better jobs. They're more qualified to hold different jobs, and more people are doing that.
Plus, they can't get the opportunity more so now than they could.
That's right, because at first they didn't have a chance. If they had prepared themselves for these particular jobs, they wouldn't have been able to get them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Something might interest you to know that, and I don't know what year it was now. I think I got newspapers that was good, but I tell you what. At one time, you know, they didn't allow black to play golf on the golf courses in this town. Mm-hmm. And I was one that, in fact, it took me about 2 years. I started to fight with them to meet with city council and on and got golf. And I could only get it done for one day a week. And that's so you know how long ago that's been. That was on a Tuesday. We could go down to McIntyre Park and play golf on the same green one day a week. And then I had to show proof that it was enough. They claimed that blacks weren't interested in golf. But I had been playing a long time, seeing it and going back and forth to Washington and playing in different places. And I felt like we shouldn't have done that.
That's true. Shouldn't have to go that far,
And so I started to fight with them. And I had one of the prosecuting attorneys tell me that he turned the golf course into a cornfield before we let us play golf on it, but they didn't turn it into the cornfield. He played golf on it. His name was Littleton Wood. We started playing golf on it one day a week, and then finally just things just changed and changed and changed until it just played every time. You want to open up to the public forever.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. See.
It's good to know something like that, because when you hear about places like Farmington, where blacks still can't do anything with work, you still get just discouraged.
Well, they opened up a membership at Farmington since they had to fight at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think it's open. But
mm-hmm.
Since it opened, I don't think anybody.
I don't think that there have been either, because I've heard folks talk about
it. A lot of people been there for a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excuse me, I got a bad eye. Got a
mm-hmm.
big star on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way things have came down to. That's the way the trend have been for the down through the years.
Uh-huh.
Okay. a lot of these questions, like we've already, you know, talked about in some way, and I'm just skimming through. Oh, yeah, could you tell me something about education in schools back then, as far as like high schools or amount of education that black could hope to achieve or obtain?
When?
Basically, during the time that you were coming up, when it was the Vinegar Hill area.
I think the same amount of education in all my time has been open to the black, and just, you know that too, though.
Yeah.
Before my time there, I couldn't tell you.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, if a family was lucky and their children could go to school and finish high school, uh-huh, then there was colleges that they could go to. There weren't mixed colleges, or
yeah,
you couldn't go to white colleges, but there was colleges that they could go to.
Uh-huh.
And that happened in many incidents.
Yeah.
I never did go to college. Mm-hmm.
But see, the reason we asked you this question, because we were told by some people that we've interviewed that, was it Jefferson only went to a certain grade? So that's why we ask about, you know,
Jefferson was only a certain time. When Jefferson was first built, I think, was just eighth grade.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
correct.
But when Jefferson did add 12 grades on, I went to Abermar Training School. I don't know if you've heard of it, Union Ridge, Virginia.
Union Ridge.
Abermar Training School was,
mm-hmm,
a good trade school.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to the city school.
Mm-hmm. Really? Well, how was that? Do you know how was that different from, say, Jefferson? Was it the same thing, or did it prepare you more for maybe a trade, or what did it do?
It was supposed to have done. And then at that time, Abermar Training School had better credits than Jefferson did.
Oh, uh-huh.
Didn't have as high credits at that time as that my training school did. In fact, that's why we were told. Children didn't realize, but they was probably happy talking about that at that,
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, my son is a graduate from a white high school,
mm-hmm,
but he went to a black college.
Mm-hmm.
And but in fact, he happened to a white college too. And then since he finished college, he had been sent by the company you're working for, he had been sent to several white colleges for the company have sent him for more,
mm-hmm,
education since,
mm-hmm,
he finished college.
Mm-hmm.
There's his picture and his wife sitting there.
Uh-huh. Now, where do they live?
Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
He is original representative for Reynolds Aluminum Company.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know him from somewhere.
You know him? He used to be a traffic cop in Richmond when he was going to school in the Union.
He looks like somebody.
He's very familiar, doesn't he?
He's very well known in Richmond now, because he started his job in Richmond.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We got some more pictures of him that. Even since that was when he was wearing them, you know, 205,
uh-huh, good, great,
and 208, right in the same block. That's all the far she ever lived in her life. Born right there and lived right there. And then she gave me the devil because I bought her over here.
So, what's next on the agenda?
Oh, you were talking about leisure time. You said you like to play golf. What did most blacks like to do in their leisure time?
Who? Well, we had a lot of fellows that taking up golf, and then we had people that used to coach little league,
mm-hmm,
little league softball teams. And, I can't say they used to like shoot marbles because I don't know what.
Tell me, did you hear anything about? What do you know about organizations? For example, the Masons, did you know of the Eastern Star, Secret 12, those sort of things? Did you belong to any such organizations or know anyone that did?
I belong to the Masons and the Eastern Stars and the Elks.
Uh-huh.
That's what I belong to now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so all these all have all been around a while, right, these organizations?
They've been around ever since the world has been around.
Because I had never heard of the others, but I had not heard of the Eastern Star.
You never heard of Eastern Star?
No, sir, I hadn't.
You said you can cook pepper. Uh-huh.
Yeah. See, but my parents are from the area.
Your parents not?
They're from North Carolina.
Oh.
So that's why I didn't really know anything about you know, the organizations here.
Well, they got a lot of great Masonic lodges in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. See, my grandparents probably could have told me more about that. But
how you come claim you from Culpeper?
No, I am. I was born there.
Oh.
But I'm born there. But mom and daddy, they're from North Carolina. So daddy teaches at home. So.
In Culpeper.
Mm-hmm.
What's your father's name?
Pool. He coaches too. But anyway, that was before things got any. Well, he still does. But he remember Carver? Do you remember Carver School? Because that's where all the blacks were. Because in the area.
Yeah. No.
But my father taught there.
I know the man that built that school.
Really?
I know the bricklayers that made it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, as far as organizations like the Masons and Eastern Star and so forth, I had never heard of any. I mean, I've heard of the Masons, but not Eastern Star was a new one to me.
Eastern
read
Star
about
is just the Missouri part of the Masonic Masons.
Mm-hmm.
It's women's group.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And all the auxiliaries have to have a main. Or two or three to join for whatever, I don't know how many men belong, but I mean, it's always got to be somebody holding a job or patron in the Eastern Stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Miss Franklin was telling us about that. Mm-hmm. She said she can't tell. She said I can't tell you too much because I don't want to let you know all my secrets.
It's a secret order.
Right.
Eastern Stars are a secret order.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, secret but the history part of it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. These people have a lot to do. These people contribute a lot to the maybe not just the social life, but you know, to helping Vinegar Hill, Star Hill area stay maintain.
Eastern Stars ain't doing nothing to help Star Hill area. I mean, it wouldn't be feasible. But I tell you what, the Sonics are doing.
Mm-hmm.
They have let the auditorium part of their building for the senior citizens, for recreation every day, and for their lunch every day.
That's
for
good.
Senior citizens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's how they're contributing to the community now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one's about churches. How did they? Well, you know, I know that they've always, you know, been a big part of black life, but specifically then, how did they fit in socially, religiously? So.
You mean as far as the improvement of the community?
Yes, sir. And what happened to churches like after the renewal?
Well, they didn't disturb any churches.
I thought one church was.
What he's asking is, did people still
attend? They took the church up on Fuller Street.
Yeah.
But they, I don't know what they, I think that church moved for the city, did that though, didn't it? I don't know whether, maybe they did. But I don't think they haven't disturbed the churches too much.
Hmm.
The biggest split in the building with the churches is that churches splitting and going to separate themselves.
Yeah.
But, and then we haven't had too much of that in Charlottesville in this generation, but that was that it happened so long time before my time.
Mm-hmm.
Churches here split. Preacher take five or six people to run down this corner.
The major concern with that question was, let's say, like a person may have been going to this one church for 20 or 30 years and you know, become a deacon or whatever, and then all of a sudden the church is you know, destroyed, and people are sent to different parts of the town to live. And you know, how do these people?
That never happened here. Because if a separate instance, if you was Mount Zion Baptist Church or Zion Union Baptist Church, we're separate answer. Which I use Zion Union because Zion Union did move from the Vinegar Hill area to Preston Avenue, but the church went together. I mean, they bought and built a new church and tore the old church down, and all the whole family moved together, you know, moved with the church. I mean, there wasn't nobody destroyed or lost their membership or anything like that. It wasn't in the membership laws. Unless there was maybe some incident where there was a fuss in the church among some of the members, and one of them, they might have split like that, but not from being disturbed by Urban League, I wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm. You have an idea how Star Hill got its name?
Well, when they started moving around, beautifying it, they felt like Star Hill would be a pretty name for it, I guess. That's the only thing I don't know. Now, the Jacksons will probably ever tell you that. She is one of the people that was so sophisticated about Star Hill. Maybe she can tell you what she feels like. She's been justified at the success that the Star Hill area made.
Excuse me, is this Teresa Walker that you're speaking
of?
Yeah, because I'm supposed to speak with her.
Yeah.
And Edward Jackson and also Mr. Cox Jackson.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all sisters and brothers.
Yeah, they were telling me, because I talked to Mr. Jackson, and he told me, you know, maybe you'd like to talk to my brother and sister too, and I already had them there.
Have you heard anything about a mayor of Vinegar Hill?
Hmm?
Have you ever heard of a mayor of Vinegar Hill?
Mayor.
M-A-Y-O-R.
What are you trying to say now?
Well, okay. Doc Bibb said that he was the, quote, mayor of Vinegar Hill.
No, he ain't never been nothing. Why do you call him Doc, too?
That's what they call him.
We don't know. All we know about this man is, I don't know if you saw, but a couple of days ago they ran an article in the Daily Progress. Till this time we had been under the impression that Mr. Bibbs was black. We did not know.
Mm.
Okay, and they ran an article and they said that he has been known, we should have brought it, as mayor of Vinegar Hill for so many years.
Yeah, just because he probably been selling fish all over Vinegar Hill and playing at colored people, rubbing their colored women or something like that.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Yes, because they ran an article on him, and the article was saying how he'd been there all this time. And
well, he done moved from three or four, five different buildings on that hill, there's a fish market, from across the street and around the corner and around like that, different places around like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been well known, but I mean, this is publicity, I'm sure.
That's what I thought. But see, we had heard before of there being someone called the mayor of Vinegar Hill. And when we found out that Mr. Bibbs was white, we were saying, well, this doesn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that black
well,
people call him white man.
I slowed up when you said that, because I tell you why I asked you. The Teresa Walker, as we call him, several other people around in that neighborhood used to call me the mayor of 6th Street, but that was just because I used to keep everybody's family and all the shovel people snow in the wintertime when I was young. I used to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Shovel the snow in front of people's houses, and 6 people to pick them back and forth to the hospital, keeping everybody's children in line, because Teresa had 2 boys that grew up with my son.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I used to keep people's children in line, all that. So they just say, it's the mayor of 6th Street. That's the only reason, I guess.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So that's when you say, do you ever know of anybody being called a
mayor? You wonder what he was talking about.
Wait, hold up and see what you're saying.
Got around. Sorry. No. Where did you shop when you live out there?
Well, Safeway.
Safeway?
Mostly. You didn't have no particular place to shop. You shop in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Patronage.
Like, this is as of like now.
Yeah.
I don't have a particular place to shop.
Yeah. But do you know whether or not most blacks in the area, I know that the Indians was around and so forth, did most blacks just stay like you just thinking?
The Indians, well yes they did too. I was going to say the Indians really didn't live in the Star Hill area, but they did. Now this is where you talked to yesterday, or whenever.
Mm-hmm.
His mother and father used to live over top of this stuff.
Yes, right. He was talking.
But now he lives in another area,
Anderson
Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's right, with the now.
More blacks patronized his store than Safeway, or did?
Oh no, he didn't get that kind of patron.
Mm-hmm.
And in the later years, he didn't.
I noticed in the later years, because I remember this location is in, or has been before he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go by there and I wonder about the story, because I went in there once or twice because I was curious, because you know I saw that black people ran it, and I didn't see too many people around then.
He didn't have nothing in the store either. He didn't have a stock of store to do any business. You know, people know he just want to. Going 3 miles to a store, and then when you get there, they say you ain't got it.
Mm-hmm,
see, But it was it just became to be a novelty for him in the later years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really try to, I don't think he really tried to make a living out of it.
He basically enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's been in his family so long, it was his.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any significant events that you remember living back there? Any big things that happened that stands out in your mind?
What happened where?
In Star Hill, Vinegar Hill, or either of the two.
I'm the biggest thing that happened there. You have to make it possible for the Negroes to play golf in this town.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everything is stuff I'm telling you. To come to school here too, so, you know. Because it's strange sometimes talking to people that came in with the first class of blacks, and they, you know, tell us how hard it was at first and how few it was and how different it is now since blacks have finally got in.
You got a lot of people have been there.
Yes, sir, we do. But it's still, compared to the whites that go to school there, it's still not but a small number of
is
blacks.
That right? Mm-hmm. Niece or cousin or something go to school up there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Her name is Fry. That's the
Sandra Fry.
Sandra.
She is the head of the Afro-American Study Committee.
She's a smart person. Yeah. They tell me, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Is she really smart?
Yes, sir, she is.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Fry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's the head of this she's the head of the Afro-American Committee, and that's Afro-American Studies majors. And I'm an Afro-American Studies major, so she's head of that committee, and she takes care of things and tries to get it straight, you know, because they don't want, they're trying to get rid of the Afro-American department, and actually that's the only, quote, black department, and it's not even a department that we have, and she's working with other people, and the instructor that I told you, we're helping with this to get things straight so that, you know, maybe we can talk to these professors and things and tell them, look, we need this department. I know her well, because we sang together in the gospel group that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, you want to go into these questions?
Do you feel that the blacks there was a close-knit community in Star Hill, Vinegar Hill?
You want the real truth. Blacks ain't never been close-knit. Not unless it's something that comes along now, because that's why the Caucasian race have always been able to get over and do anything they want to do whenever they want to, because they never, blacks never could really stick together. You know, they never had the love for each other and that kind of thing. Known race for that is Jews.
Right, I was going to say that.
Huh?
I was going to say that, yeah.
Maybe if it had been more close than it, perhaps then Vinegar Hill wouldn't have been this
well,
story.
Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, that could have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that.
Maybe not.
But I mean, speaking of being close than it, you, that's a curse that's on the black people, in a way to speak.
I can understand what you mean, because that's the same thing I was telling you about the university, how people that were here at first when there were a few say, and now it's different because it's like blacks don't look at each other and care about each other like they did when there were a few, you know.